We're going to take a few minutes to meditate on great gifts that we need. Let me read to you just a few verses from Romans chapter 3. It's verses 22 through 24. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believes. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our newborn Savior, dear loved ones of God, especially you children, this past week was not the first week, and it won't be the last, when adults get news of a tragedy involving children. And your hearts bleed for parents who will go through this Christmas in grief. And you know, if you know the Christmas story, it was not the first time in America. It was not the first time in the world. Because Herod, trying to get rid of the newborn king of the Jews, wiped out all the babies, boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. These tragedies have happened over and over again in time. And as you hear the news reports and you think about the parents through this time, the grandparents, say a prayer for them. Remember them before the Lord and pray that the Lord will turn this tragedy somehow into a blessing, that He will use it as He does. And I don't know how He does this, but He does. He makes people listen. He draws them close to His heart. He somehow turns tragedies into blessings. There are a couple of things, though, in these stories and in people's reaction to them that are of a spiritual nature, and the tragedy here is actually far worse than the physical and the emotional trauma that people have suffered. One of the things comes often when people will make that comment, "How could anyone do such a thing?" There's always this implication that none of us think we would ever be capable of such a thing, no matter how much medication we were on or the trouble in our lives or whatnot. One of the things I'm starting to notice after months of working with inmates just up the road in our Bible class at Lionel Lakes is they're opening up. They're starting to confess how they at one time thought they could never do such a thing. And some of them even will say, as 2 weeks ago, one inmate commented, "I know guys out there that are on drugs and doing all these things, and they never get in trouble with the law." I said, "That's because you have a Heavenly Father. He didn't want to let you go. So He pulled you up short." And one of the inmates said, "Does that mean we're getting a thumping now?" Yeah. "And be glad you're getting it here on earth, so you don't have to get it forever in hell." We have to sometimes learn these lessons the hard way, that we are all capable of far worse sins than we realize, even if it's not to the point of something so tragic as what got into the news. The Holy Spirit is here giving us some insight into what we're like, our human condition. He says, "There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So He's picturing this huge valley of sin, the Grand Canyon, grand only because of its size, the sin that comes between us and God. And there are people that will try to spend their whole lives on this side, away from God, running around in their life on earth thinking this is all there is, and insisting they're never going to have to face judgment with God. And there are others that come up to that deep valley and they just despair and fall in. And then there are the church people. The ones that Jesus had to deal with too. That Pharisee inside each one of us. Church people will tend to say, "I'm going to do something about that. There's God and I'm going to get over there." So they invent their Harleys. They deck them out with chrome of good works and merits. They put on their slick outfits, and then they get back and they try to, and They brag about what they do, what they think, even what they believe. Sometimes people brag about their faith, like somehow they made a decision and they were able to make their own faith in their heart. And you stand back and you look at that and you say, you will fall short too. Your works can't get you to God. And it's almost as if they just flip their pretty hair and say, yeah, but I sure look good, don't I? What good does it do when all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Looking at the Greek original here, I realized just this morning that the word that means fall short also means fall short of time. It means run out of time. To realize too late what's going on. That's the other spiritual tragedy that came to mind this past week. Especially seeing the kids preparing for this service and seeing the difference between children who come to know and love their Lord Jesus and His love at an early age versus the ones whose parents say, we're going to let them grow up and make their own decision. You've heard that before. Why would anyone just assume that the sin-dead soul will be able to make its own decision? How can any of us say we have another day or another hour before God calls us to account and we come to our personal judgment with God Almighty? And where does this attitude come from that you should just let children go through their childhood in their innocence as if nothing bad ever happens to children? Or children never have to deal with disease and sickness themselves, or with their friends, or family matters. What foolishness. When Christ says, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It's not an adult rational decision. It's a gift of faith, not by works. It's a salvation, not by works. No one can boast. Let the little children come, Jesus says. I was going to put up some pictures this morning to give an obvious problem that adults will deal with. You can do a Google search on your own. Just type in the words cleft palate. I found the pictures too heartbreaking. One out of every 800 children, statistically, is born with a cleft palate. And in America, we just deal with it. We just do surgery. It's taken care of. We have members here in our congregation, though, that have traveled to other countries to help medical teams with surgeries because those kids can go through life hardly able to breathe or talk and certainly ostracized because of the way their face looks. When something like that happens that's physically, we deal with it. You do what you can. And you feel good about it because you actually gave a wonderful gift to a child that'll last a lifetime. But there are spiritual problems that people cannot see. And just as parents are not able to do surgery typically on their own children, we can't help our own or even see the problem until the Lord comes and says there's no difference, not between our kids and other people's kids. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But all, He says, all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God's own Son stepped up to take care of our sons and daughters and all of us to make us children of God. He laid His body across that deep chasm of our sin. Laid His body on the cross and gave us one way to get over from here to God. With His own blood, He washed away the sins of all people. And He says this absolutely over and over again in Scripture, that He's justified everyone whether they believe it or not. He declared us all not guilty. He wants everyone to know that your sins are taken away. They're atoned for by God, and God looks at you as forgiven and justified. He's put a warm blanket of God's grace over the whole wide world when He raised Jesus from the dead. Don't let sin and unbelief pull that blanket back and put you back out in the cold. That's the tragedy of unbelief. God did what He did in Christ to save us all. But Don't get out from under the blanket of God's grace by saying, I don't need this, I don't want this. Stay here. Stay warm. Stay close with God. Because He gives us His Son and gives us so many gifts when Christ comes to be our Savior. There's one other thing we tend to do, though, at Christmas time, focusing on the gifts instead of the giver. Even as Christians, it's easy to take more joy in our salvation than we do in our Savior. We end up worshiping and serving created things rather than the Creator. The dear Holy Spirit wants to show us again today, through the message of the children that they're about to proclaim, that's preaching, that's proclamation, to proclaim loudly and clearly so that we can take this home. The Lord wants us to bring our hearts and lay them in the manger so that from that manger He can give us His heart and bring us home to God. Great gifts, all gifts we need. Amen. Children will proclaim the word.